Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I'm thrilled to have on Devin Hernandez. He's the vice president at Brown & Brown Insurance, and he focuses on helping people with their insurance needs in the franchise space. So he is an industry expert in franchise insurance, which is so needed. And so I was thrilled to have him come on the show and talk specifically about the insurance needs for franchising and his background. He played college golf and gave it a shot on the pro tour. And so as a golfer myself, I found that to be fascinating. Really enjoyed this conversation with Devin to learn about all the things you need to know from a franchising perspective with regard to insurance, which can be oh so important and something that you need to know before you get into franchising, not after the fact. So without further ado, hope you enjoy this interview with Devin. Hey, Devin, welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
Hey, Josh. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for reaching out. Love having other industry experts on, and you being, you know, a vice president for Brown & Brown Insurance with a total focus on franchising and helping franchisees with their insurance was literally an awesome fit, because I get, not only do I get asked about that a lot, but I think people who are going into a franchise think about that, you know, what kind of insurance they need. Everybody wants to make sure they have enough insurance, but they don't want to be overinsured. So we're going to dive into all that fun stuff here in a few minutes, but take a few minutes at the outset and just tell us about yourself. How'd you get involved in this business?
Yeah. So let me take one step back. You mentioned fun. It's interesting. Somebody wants to talk to the insurance guy here. Usually it's only right up against a renewal or some point in time where they have to talk to me, but I appreciate you having me on, and we can share a few things.
Listen, Devin, as a lawyer myself and you as an insurance people, we're usually not the top two people want to speak to.
Exactly. Yeah. So I, to touch on that too, my family's runs a family business here in the area. And when I was looking into some career decisions, my family members would say, just don't go into law, or don't get in the insurance business. We get so many people calling us, and then now I find myself here. I've been here for just about 7 years, so it's been a good run. But yeah, to your initial question, I got into the business kind of a unique way. I was from the St. Petersburg, Tampa area. I went and went to college at the University of South Florida, which is here in Tampa, and I was on the golf team there. So that was kind of my thing as a kid growing up, and took me.
I'm so jealous. I love golf and you're a good golfer. That's awesome. And in Florida too, right? Where you can play year round.
We play all year round. So going into college, that was the only sport. I kind of stopped everything else and went into that. I played on the team there for 4 years. And when I got out, just like every college athlete thinks, is you're going to play a professional sport. So I went in with that mindset and left college with that mindset. And that's a very tall task. The people who make it in that sport are, 1% chance. But when you're in college, nobody thinks that. So that was my mind. That's what I was going to do. I was set. Kind of a year into the professional golf experience, I met a lot of great people around town and around the country, for that matter, traveling around.
Yeah. Were you touring? Were you on any like the mini tours?
I played on a local, kind of a regional mini tour. It wouldn't be any of the big ones you would have heard of. But I met some great people. And in that sport, takes you on some interesting journeys. You're always alone. You're always looking for somebody to talk to. And I would always save business cards and save people's contact information, for one, because I never knew when I would be back in that area. Or for two, I didn't know where the future was going to lead. So it was always good to make relationships and make connections. And golf was a perfect excuse to obtain all that. So I actually, when I realized I needed to find a place to live and get off my parents' couch, I started reaching out to several different folks in my journey and my path. And right here in Clearwater, which is just north of St. Petersburg, I found a contact that I made along the way, which led me to this position. And believe it or not, I've been working here in the same office with the same team now for just, like I said, almost 7 years, all just based on crossing paths with certain people at certain times. So it's been great. It's been a great journey.
So Devin, when you're traveling around, you know, obviously playing golf, I'm just curious. Which is going to be a little bit of a sidebar here, but you played in college, obviously very competitive, and obviously insurance is very competitive. But one of the things I hear about golf is, you know, you try to get out there, and now you shoot in the 60s and all that kind of stuff. But everybody you're playing against is every bit that good, and you know, you're out there on these mini tours, and people are throwing up ridiculously low. I mean, I can't think of a sport that's harder to go pro in and remain a pro at than golf. I mean, it's so hard.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I played at a bigger college. University of South Florida is not a major, you know, power conference school, but we did play in the Big East at that time, which got us the opportunity. We did play against a lot of Florida schools, and you see those players and like the Brooks Koepkas of the world who we played against in college, and that's when you kind of realize this is a whole nother level of talent.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, and it's changing conditions too, right? I mean, every golf course is a little bit different. You've got, you know, the changing conditions outside. You just got, I mean, it's just, and I'm sure for the people who are listening who don't play golf, they're like, oh, come on. But yeah. I mean, as a golfer, it's hard. But I'm sure that just like with any sport, I mean, playing golf, I think you were captain of your team and, you know, all those sorts of things. Then you take that and you parlay that into your career. So talk about that. Talk about what that was like going from, you know, trying to go pro in a sport and then transferring that to effectively going pro in your business.
Right. That's a great question, actually. And the two of them have, in golf, that particular sport has a great comparison to this individual job, which I started to realize as time went on. You know, in the golf world, it is a somewhat of a team experience. I mean, you do have people around you that can elevate you. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're the one making the swings. You're the one holding the club. You're the one deciding which club to hit. Kind of like in this job, and I've got been blessed with a great team around us here at our Clearwater Brown & Brown office. But at the end of the day, I'm the one making the call. I'm the one picking up the phone, trying to either, you know, service the need of a current client or trying to get a new client. And my records show for our company as far as what Devin Hernandez did that year, which is similar to signing your scorecard in a golf tournament, signing Devin Hernandez scored this number. So there's a great, that's just one minor correlation, but there are countless of them, which is why I do feel that individual sport athletes in this business do very well, and to the point where our companies started to kind of target those types of folks.
So when you started in the insurance business, did you just sort of start doing franchise work, or tell me about how you got sort of focusing on franchise businesses?
Yeah, that's another good question. When I first started here, you get your insurance license and they take about a year and a half to train you on what the exact things that you have to know to be successful, which is a great thing about our company with the training program. So I made some, you know, cold calls, looking on Google, looking at seeing what companies are around or researching just different businesses in the area. And after countless calls of without being, you know, a pest, of course, but getting in the door, introducing myself, crossing my fingers and hoping they like golf. No, I'm kidding. After just several other things that led to me getting into certain businesses that just so happened to be in the franchise space. My family owns and operates a manufacturing business here in town. I did not come from any kind of franchise or franchisee knowledge or background. A couple of the first accounts that I had gotten into and started working with, I just really focused in on them. I learned every single thing I could about their business. I tried other ways to learn about what the things that they have to combat with, which is kind of what led me to your podcast. I was searching for articles. I was searching for podcasts. I was searching for anything out there that I could just get on the same platform as somebody running a franchise business. So once that had happened, that kind of began to snowball into other people that are in town that are kind of battling the same things as far as insurance goes. And we had an opportunity to help in certain areas, providing things that now at this point in being doing this for this long, you kind of know what somebody needs and what they're not have what they're not getting right now. So one thing led to another, and it just became an introduction after an introduction. And at the same time, me still continuing to make the cold calls and try to get in front of people. In between the two, they all just kind of evolved into what it is now, which is, it's been a great opportunity and a great experience.
Well, and so let's talk about specifically in franchising. What are the types of insurances that these franchisees are really going to, I mean, typically in the franchise agreement, it's going to let them know, hey, here's what you need. Here's what you need. You know, here are the requirements, or here, at least here's the parameters of what you need. But can you kind of break that down for us? Because I know in talking with franchisees, it can be a complex process, but it's really important that they have not just the adequate amounts for the insurance, but the adequate type of insurance, depending on the franchise business that they're in.
Sure. Not only the, you know, like you said, the adequate amounts or the adequate types, but a lot of these insurance policies, without going into too much detail, they kind of on the front end show you and provide you with, here's our limits, here's the types. And then on the back end is where all the exclusions and deductibles and terms and conditions all lie. So it's reading through all those. But to go a step back again, the types of franchises that I work with and assist with, they're all on all scopes of business, from either the fast food restaurants to coffee shops to automotive space to hotels to retail to manufacturing, really across the board. Everything that you could imagine having to do with franchises is kind of something that I place, manage, and service the insurance for. So at the end of the day, they're going to be much different. A person who's changing, making oil changes is going to need much different insurance than somebody who's frying chicken. So knowing that, and then making certain that the terms and conditions and exclusions are in fact what the franchisor is requesting, and making sure all that's lining up accurately is obviously extremely important. And that's why I'm hired to do that job. Every of those industry segments that I just rattled off, they all require extreme amount of different insurance, right? So over time, you start to begin to learn exactly what each of those sectors need and must have. And sometimes, Josh, not to keep going and rambling on, but sometimes what's being requested by the franchises isn't enough at times. And there are certain things where you can help protect your franchisee even further than they thought that they needed, just based on data that claims that have happened over time here in our office or within and around our companies. We're an international company, and we've got a lot of data that is based on a lot of these certain industry segments.
Well, you know, it's like you were reading my mind. I was just going to go there, because I know oftentimes, you know, in the franchise documents, you don't have this amount or that amount, but often they will have information there that says, you know, you've obviously got to check with your local requirements as well. And every location's a little bit different too. I mean, there's going to be different possible occurrences and situations that arise that will change depending on where you are, you know, sure, the geography of where you're located. How do you, I mean, when you're working with a franchisee, is that where you start? I mean, do you start by saying, hey, let me see your franchise documents and just send me over what the franchisor is requiring, and then let's kind of break down your business? I mean, is that how you start, or what's your approach to talking with the franchisee about the types of insurance that they need?
Yeah, so that's a good starting point. Typically, we have an initial introduction meeting. We can talk a little bit about Brown & Brown and our company as a whole, and then go into the details of their business operation in specific. What exactly are they doing on a day-to-day basis? What do they plan on doing in the upcoming year? What are some of the challenges that they have faced relating to insurance, whether it be a coverage or a service, perhaps, that they wish that they saw? And then lastly is what you just mentioned, is going into really the fine detail of their policy and making them aware of, okay, here's what you're paying. Here's what it's covering. Did you know that there was a gap or an exclusion where if this were to occur, there's no coverage? Okay. Did you want to see how much that would cost to cover that? By the way, you may in fact be required to have this covered currently, or something along the lines of that. And that's just a very on the top surface level of kind of the approach to it. But I mean, it we don't have enough time on this podcast to go into all the detail, but that's the initial process kind of at a 30,000 foot look.
So let's take a deeper dive in one area, like maybe business interruption insurance, okay. Right? I mean, I mentioned that because obviously with COVID, there's probably been no greater interruption there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's lots of people who are say, oh, you know, will my business interruption insurance kick in, you know, for that? Talk about that. I mean, you know, that seems to be a type of insurance that regardless of the franchise that you're in, you're going to want to have some sort of business interruption component to it, right?
Sure. And, you know, that's a separate coverage that is purchased through your property insurance policy. So I'm glad you brought that up because it is one of the more misunderstood coverages in the property insurance sector. So like I said, you purchase it on a property insurance policy and you, the business owner, predetermines how much limit that you would prefer to carry. And the caveat and what's very misunderstood about this coverage is for true business interruption to occur, there has to be a covered cause of loss of physical damage that actually happens at the property. So when this coverage was first, you know, brought up and kind of put on the property policy, the intent of it was to cover you for if there was an actual physical damage of fire, if wind blew your roof off and you wanted to provide and protect yourself with your revenue stream, even though your building has had a fire, for example. That was the intent of this. What's misunderstood a lot of times about this coverage in particular is, and what's very tough to swallow at times, unless it's talked about beforehand, is with this whole COVID situation, there's no actual direct physical damage at these locations, at these restaurants or hotels or wherever the business is, which is the very difficult thing for folks to, you know, understand. And it's been a tough road this year explaining that to different people. It really has been, but that's the intent of the business interruption coverage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's been the hardest thing is people want to say, oh, this is a classic business interruption. Well, no, it's not from an insurance perspective.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, like I said, that's a true business interruption. Now, we're in Florida, so we deal with we have a rough storm season at times, right? We've got hurricanes. So there are enhancements that you can add and purchase separately onto your business interruption policy. For example, we had a very bad storm that just missed the Tampa Bay area, Hurricane Irma, which was two years ago. And the thing with Irma was we got its outer bands, it came through, and a lot of people had power outages for a week to 10 days. And obviously we need power to run some of these businesses. But the issue was there was no physical damage at these locations. The power line had gone down about 3 miles down the road, but it wasn't at our business. We just didn't have power. So there are enhancements you can add to a business interruption policy that add utility service interruption, which is, that's never included. You have to ask for that separately. Utility service interruption due to a covered cause of loss that happened 10 miles down the road, which is causing your perfectly intact building to lose power. I know that's a little bit confusing, but a standard business interruption policy would not have coverage for power that went out 10 miles down the road because there's nothing wrong with your building.
I think you're hitting on why people just love contacting insurance people and lawyers to talk to them about this stuff. Yeah. Because, no, I'm kidding. It's convoluted, right? I mean, it's convoluted, but here's the deal. Like, ignorance is not bliss. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I can tell you from just an insurance perspective in general that, you know, oftentimes I get calls from people and it's like, oh, did you notify your insurance, you know, person? Oh, no, I didn't even think to. Well, maybe they've waited 30, 45, 60 days and now they're getting into a sort of a notice lapse kind of issue. I mean, the thing about insurance is that you got to stay on top of it. You got to know what's covered, what's not covered. You need to have an agent and a group that's going to be able to clearly identify those things. And then when something does come up, when something does arise that could be a claim or could possibly be a claim, you need to evaluate that. I mean, you need to be able to reach out to somebody, you know, like yourself, Devin, and have your clients and customers reach out and say, hey, I've got this thing. Here's what I think it's going to cost. Do you think it's worthwhile to make a claim out of it? Because we know that that's probably going to impact premiums and rates down the road, or at least possibly could.
Sure.
I'm curious, talk about COVID. Talk about how this has impacted the business, from your perspective, from the insurance perspective. You know, what are you seeing with the franchise businesses that you're working with?
So everybody's kind of, and just like your guests have stated since being on the podcast since March, right? Everybody's kind of had to adapt in their own unique way, whether it's the way that you see your customers or interact with them or compliance or just the way you do business in general. I think every business has had to adapt, and including ours, and I'm sure yours. They're all different based on the industry, of course. And it's been a unique shift, you know. I mean, this is, everybody probably knows this by now, but anything that's relative to outdoor recreation or home needs or home appliances, those have done very well. Everybody wants to have more access to things they can do from home, whether that's adding a copy machine or another computer monitor, or maybe something recreational that they can do in the backyard. They can purchase at somewhere online and have it delivered to them, right? A lot of the restaurants and hospitality industry has probably had to adapt the most. They aren't getting the customers that they once were earning. They now have to do something different to attract the customer. But that's different, like I said, with every industry. Some are struggling more than others just because of the environment. In most cases, I will say, for at least the folks that I've been working with, they've been so creative and getting together with their team and implementing changes to make sure that their customers feel comfortable and safe and business can continue on. It hasn't been easy, I'll say that, but they really have done an excellent job of doing everything that they possibly can to make sure people feel comfortable going to their business.
And I know you're located in Florida, but do you do work across the country?
Yes. So most of the headquarters or the corporate offices that I have done work for, they mostly are around this, you know, Tampa Bay area. But those folks have franchise chains across the country. So yes, we do have locations, but the kind of the face-to-face meetings or Zoom at some points now this year, but they're all right around, for the most part, around, you know, a 30 to 40 mile radius around Tampa Bay.
And what's a good place to learn more about, you know, your options, learn more about you, learn more about Brown & Brown?
Yeah, Brown & Brown, yeah, we have a website that's our corporate that's going to illustrate a lot about our company as a whole. So we're in about 40 states and probably up to 9 or 10,000 employees now. We operate kind of on a decentralized basis. So our Clearwater branch is one of 25, don't quote me on that number, but one of 24, 25 offices here in Florida. But our Clearwater branch has 50 or 60 employees here, giving our relationships, our clients with a local feel. When somebody needs something, they call me, they call my team. They're not calling an 800 number. And you get that local feel, but at the same time, when we're dealing with our underwriters and our carrier partners, they're looking at Brown & Brown as a national company, as a publicly traded company. So like I said, we have a corporate website. We also have a Pinellas County Brown & Brown Clearwater website as well, which has got information on there. And of course, we've got LinkedIn. Everybody in our office is utilizing that, and that's been helpful. But there's a lot of information on there about us and about our company.
So locally, they can go to BB, as in Brown Brown, Pinellas.com. P as in Paul, I, N as in Nancy, E, LLAS.com. That's BB, as in Brown Brown, Pinellas.com. Or they can go to www.bbinsurance.com. Are those the two best places?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the two best places you're going to find out the specifics about locally, which, like we mentioned, we do service franchisees across the country, and it's made it easier now with Zoom and everything. It's almost acceptable now to meet on Zoom.
Don't you love that? I love that.
I love it. At the same time, I do like the face-to-face, which has been nice. Some of that down here in Florida has been coming back. Hopefully we turn the corner on this year and we'll be back doing that.
But you realize, yeah, people really don't want to see you. I mean, that's like,
yeah, like, exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Just Zoom me. Just Zoom
that's
me.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's been interesting to develop, kind of adapt to all that. But But yeah, thanks. Those are the two places you can kind of get to know us. Something else, Josh, I wanted to just bring up too. It's you talked about the coverages and the expertise you have to have, knowing where to look to see if certain things are covered or if they're excluded in the back or if there's a larger deductible for a certain type of scenario. Those are all of the technical things that are extremely important, right? That's part of the reason why we get hired to work with the franchisee. The other component really is what's a kind of a common theme amongst all the industries, no matter what they are, is servicing the account. And what I mean by servicing is all the back end stuff. You know, one talks about a whole lot until there's a whole problem, but from billing to communication to issuing certificates to showing the bank that there's proper coverage in place, all of those things that we're learning over time, we're still learning that the little components that each one of these franchisees really helps them from a billing standpoint, even making sure that every store, a lot of these policies we write are on master policies with multiple stores on these policies or properties or what have you. So developing a billing structure, because the insurance company is going to bill corporate office, for example, one bill, it's going to show one number. You know, taking it a step further, and this is something the franchisees have really liked, is taking it a step further, and let's say they've got 25 locations. You know, the price for the insurance in Florida in a certain zip code is going to be different price for the location that's up in North Georgia. So taking it a step further and breaking out a billing spreadsheet that's got costs for one location per each individual line of insurance. So the cost for the auto, the property, the general liability for that one location could be much different than the location in Tampa. So the franchisee can go in, and when you're trying to allocate bonuses, P&Ls, understanding where the cost of this insurance is really driven from, you know, it could be 20% of the cost could be from the four Florida locations. And that's been another thing that we've grown to do for all of our franchise clients, because that's a big help for them when they're doing their accounting or their end of the year budgets or some stuff like that.
Well, that's great to know. And that's a sure value proposition, I think, for them. You know, again, I just think it's helpful to have people on like yourself who bring industry expertise in, you know, and, you know, very real practical things, because at the end of the day, insurance is one of those things where, you know, you don't think about it all that much. You know, you think about it when you get it, and then you think about it when you need it. And so it's really important that you have the right coverage. And I think to what you said earlier, that, you know, oftentimes the franchisor is telling you sort of parameters, but you need to make sure that that's all you need, because you certainly don't want to be in the situation of not having the coverage that you should have had just because you blindly went on what they suggested, and maybe in your locale there was something, you know, additional that you needed. So thank you so much, Devin, for first of all listening, you know, to the podcast, tuning in, for reaching out, and for coming on to share this valuable information. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and thanks for taking the time to speak with me. It's been great. And I've been a listener for several years, so it's been neat being on this side of it versus just being a listener. So it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, having a podcast in a niche like franchising, as I tell people, and I think you and I talked about off air, was like, you know, if you're interested in franchising, people typically find out about it, but it's got that sort of real niche kind of quality, which is great, because, you know, when people, just like you find with your insurance work, you know, when people need insurance for their franchises, you know, they know to turn your way, because that's what you do. And so it's real nice to have that sort of niche focus. So thanks again, my man. And I really, really have enjoyed speaking with you.
Yeah, likewise. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art, and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria, and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.